Hello and welcome to the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show here on iHeartRadio. I am your host, Frank Costello Jr. I'm the president and CEO of the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce. And here on our show today, I'll be bringing in some guests from the community, starting out with Mr. John Vail, who is the executive director of the American Red Cross, a local not-for-profit right here in the Hudson Valley, followed up by John Ventosa. He is a partner with the law firm of McCabe, Coleman, Ventosa and Patterson. But before that, I want to tell you about a couple of upcoming events that we have happening at the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce and events happening here in the Hudson Valley region. First, starting out with an event that's produced by the Hudson Valley Young Professionals. The Hudson Valley Young Professionals runs under the auspices of the Chamber of Commerce, but they will be hosting a great event called a CEO Chat. This event is a one-on-one conversation with high-level CEOs, and this CEO will be Michael Harney of Harney and Sons Fine Teas, and it will take place at Eastdale Village on February the 24th at 5 p.m. This is free and open to the public. If you'd like to attend, again, February the 24th, it is a CEO chat with Michael Harney of Harney and Sons Fine Teas at Eastdale Village Town Center. On February the 26th, we'll have a business after hours networking event. This is free, again, open to the public. Adams Ferriker Farms will be hosting us for their Flower and Garden Show on the 26th. It runs from 5 to 7 p.m. It is complimentary hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar. Again, it'll be held at Adams Ferriker Farms in Poughkeepsie at their Flower and Garden Show. And then we have our annual gala just around the corner on March the 7th. It's a Saturday evening at 5:30 in the evening. Come on out and celebrate with us some of the local legends here in our community. We'll be recognizing some really incredible honorees. Starting out with our community service award, we'll go to Mr. Walter Joseph. He is the president and CEO of Children's Home of Poughkeepsie. Our community spirit award will go to Krista Jones of Sparrow's Nest. Our good neighbor award will go to the farmers of Hudson Valley Fresh. The next generation award will go to John Webb III of Emery and Webb Insurance. And our leadership award will go to Mr. Michael Mullaney of Hudson Cadillac Buick GMC. I do want to thank our platinum sponsor, Northside Auto Body, along with all the other sponsors of the event. If you want to find out more, go right to our website at dcrcoc.org. There's so many great events happening at the Chamber of Commerce. They're all listed right there on our homepage. Check it out at dcrcoc.org. We have to take a quick break here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show, but when we come back, we'll be joined by the American Red Cross. John Vail will be with us. Hang in there. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Uncle Mike from iHeartRadio. Frank Costello Jr. is in the studio. Frankie, what's going on over at the Chamber?
Uncle Mike, we are planning for the 35th annual Hudson Valley Hot Air Balloon Festival. It'll take place once again on Labor Day weekend, September 4th, 5th, and 6th this year, and it'll be at Time Warp Park in Unionvale, New York. This event has become a rite of passage for summer for everyone here in the Hudson Valley, with hot air balloon illumination moon glows, mass ascensions all weekend long, fireworks each night, 2x2 Animal Haven live music, a drone zone, bubble zone, live entertainment, and so much more. Find all the information and tickets online at the website, balloonfesthv.com. That's balloonfesthv.com. And remember, Uncle Mike, those tickets sell out each and every year. And welcome back to the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show here on iHeartRadio. Now in the studio with me, as promised, from the American Red Cross, one of our local not-for-profit organizations, it's the executive director, Mr. John Vail. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So, John, I think your brand, the Red Cross, the American Red Cross, is certainly branded quite well all throughout the country, even throughout the world, and has been supporting organizations as well as individuals, disaster recovery, the list goes on, for many decades. I want you to tell our listeners who may not be familiar with the Red Cross from the ground up, what is the American Red Cross? What is it that you do, especially here locally in the Hudson Valley?
Well, thanks, Frank. Yeah, the Red Cross certainly is a storied nonprofit. This year marks 145 years since we were founded. Now, a lot of people recall Clara Barton from their high school history lessons. Clara, of course, was a Civil War nurse. And what she helped found here in the United States was the American Red Cross. Now, the International Red Cross was founded by Henri Dunant, who was a Swedish philanthropist. And really what Henri started was this desire to help others. And really this was providing indiscriminate care. And what Clara helped do during the Civil War was provide assistance to both North and Southern soldiers. And what she was able to do was provide emergency communications for injured soldiers to their families back home. So that really started and founded the Red Cross. Now, a couple of years later, we had an intense flooding event in Galveston, Texas. So really founded the basis for some of the work we do today and what a lot of people know us for, which is responding to local disasters. So here locally, Frank, we cover six counties here in the Hudson Valley, Orange and Dutchess, Ulster, Putnam, Greene, and Columbia counties. We have about 400 volunteers that provide all sorts of services, from responding to disasters, helping to collect blood, providing life-saving trainings and certifications, and of course, doing this, some of that same work that Claire helped do, providing those emergency communications to our service members.
So it's interesting that we talked about the emergency communications, because it was known back in the day as V-mail. And V-mail was a communication that my grandfather used. He was in World War II. He was held prisoner of war in a camp in Germany, was shot down over Germany, and used V-mail. And I have a lot of those letters. My family keeps those letters as a memento. And they were letters to his family and to my grandparents and my great-grandparents, I should say. And those communications were vital to them keeping hope that he was still alive and still well. And all the other supports that the American Red Cross provide as well while they were in the encampment, welfare checks, regular health checks, checking them for lice, giving them medications, giving them treatments while they were there as prisoner of war. So going back to history of World War II, even way before that, that this has been a long-standing tradition and support of the American Red Cross. Of course, that's international in most of those cases, but you do a lot nationally here in the States. And I want you to take the opportunity to talk about some of the most recent calls of duty, I will say, for the volunteers of the American Red Cross and even the staff of the Red Cross here in the States.
Oh, certainly, Frank. And thank you for sharing your story. You know, it's incredible to work for this organization, quite an honor. I feel like I get to learn something new about what we provide every single day. So here locally, we respond on average, Frank, to 150 disasters every single year. And that's just in the Hudson Valley alone. A majority of those disasters are home fires. So that includes, you know, families that lose their home in a moment's notice. And what we do is we provide immediate assistance to help those families recover. So those disasters happen year-round. It really is quite an epidemic here.
It could be flood, fire, variety of reasons. It could be a pipe broke within a house and it completely destroyed everything within and this displaced those individuals.
Yes. And Frank, you mentioned one other thing before, and it was with those letters, and that's providing hope. Hope is tantamount to the work we do here with the Red Cross, just because without hope, you know, the recovery process can be really quite daunting for a lot of our families. So those families that do encounter a disaster, they are met by a warm, compassionate face from one of our volunteers. Again, one of those 150, you know, fires, they keep our volunteers very active here on the local front. And to the emergency communications point, just recently, I had one of our partners reach out to us for one of their, they had a fallen first responder, and they actually had a family member who was deployed overseas. So we were able to help, once again, Frank, provide those emergency communications to a service member. So honoring, you know, our troops, our families here in the United States is really quite crucial to us.
So coming up just around the corner, March is Red Cross Month. And I want you to tell our listeners what that entails. What is Red Cross Month all about?
Sure. Red Cross Month is about honoring our commitment to serving our community. Every president since FDR in 1943 has honored March as Red Cross Month. And so what we typically do is, Frank, you might see the Mid-Hudson Bridge here lit up red as some more of your state landmarks here in New York State. So keep an eye out during the month of March. But what we're really calling on is the American public to help support our mission. And Frank, I didn't get to mention this earlier, but our mission is to alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies. And that's only made possible through the power of our volunteers and the generosity of our donors. The Red Cross is not a government agency. We are, funded by the American people for the American people. We are founded on this basis of humanity to help serve others impartially. Again, doesn't matter your race, religion, creed, you can receive Red Cross assistance. So it's really quite a powerful movement to be behind here, especially here in the Hudson Valley.
These emergencies and assistance come in so many different forms. And as the Red Cross has evolved, one of the things that already this year, you've already gone through a crisis of a blood shortage. And that is always seemingly ongoing. I consistently hear that from the Blood Center in New York, from the Red Cross, all those notifications that are constantly coming as a blood donor to me saying there is a shortage. What is going on in the community right now out in the future? Where can people give blood regularly without having to go and find a site per se on a given day where there's a drive?
Sure. So the need for blood is constant. Certainly, there are times of the year where the demand increases and the supply wanes. So in the wintertime, we do struggle with blood collections. Now, that's for a number of reasons. We also are experiencing the worst flu season in over 20 years, which has caused a lot of our donors to turn down their blood donation appointments. So right now, we're calling upon all healthy, eligible donors to roll up that sleeve. While the Red Cross does not have any fixed sites here in the Hudson Valley, we do operate our mobile blood drives. So you will see these blood drives happening throughout your communities. And just want to give a shout out to our community partners who help host and sponsor those blood drives. And of course, our dedicated donors who help ensure that we have a healthy, safe, reliable blood supply on hand for our local area hospitals for when that blood is needed most. The easiest way, actually there's three ways, Frank, you can go about looking up where your next closest blood drive is. You can go to our website, so that's redcross.org/blood. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS, so that's 1-800-733-2767. Or you can download the Red Cross Blood app. Actually, the app is what I utilize, Frank, and for my last donation. One of the most incredible things about the new app we have is you can actually track your donation from the time you make the donation to the time it's processed up to the point where it's utilized at a hospital. And my last donation was utilized all the way down in Philadelphia. So just imagine that impact. The pint of blood that you donate today, you never know whose life that may be impacting. So as we're thinking about service and of course, helping others, what incredible way to give back, especially here in 2026.
You also provide some pretty crucial life-saving trainings here in the community. I want you to take the opportunity to tell our listener about those trainings. Maybe it'll spark someone to gain interest in perhaps learning about some of those trainings and taking a training, maybe even saving a life in the future.
Absolutely. So being trained in life-saving service skills is not just for our nurses, doctors, our first responders. We encourage all adults here and even our youth to begin the process of becoming trained in life-saving skills. So Frank, what I really look towards is first aid and CPR training really as the basis for some of the training we provide here. This allows those life-saving chest compressions, which if you didn't know is incredibly easy to do. You just need that proper training. And we have trainings happening all throughout the Hudson Valley. So same thing, Frank, you can go onto our website, go under our training and certifications tab, and you can easily look up your nearest training course near you using your zip code. So really quite an incredible way to get trained here. We also offer babysitting training, some more advanced courses like basic life-saving, BLS trainings, lifeguard trainings for those looking to get a summer job this summer. So again, there's a myriad of trainings out there, and Red Cross has been one of the premier providers of training since the early 1900s.
First aid, basic CPR training, AED training, that's the automatic defibrillators, and that is a training that would be necessary for anyone that needs to use one of those in a life-saving situation. Now, I've seen them around, and I have not been trained and certified in that. God forbid I needed to use it. Would I be able to use that without being trained in it? Maybe, but probably not effectively, and that's so important. So what good is it to have that device if you haven't been properly trained? BLS training, babysitter training, and lifeguard training here in the state of New York. So those are all different certifications. And one thing I can attribute the Red Cross to is I know of saving one life in particular. When I was a young man in elementary school, we were taught by the Red Cross how to do the Heimlich maneuver. And they used to give us a little Red Cross certification card for the Heimlich maneuver. Well, I remember that all these years. In about 2015, we were here in the office and we were serving lunch to a bunch of our clients here in the office. And a young lady was choking on her meal. And she gave the universal sign, which is grabbing your neck. And I immediately recognized as I was facing her in the audience that she was choking, and everyone froze. And she stood up and was grabbing her neck, and I grabbed her and did the Heimlich maneuver and was able to dislodge after several attempts. Luckily, I didn't break a rib, but I bruised her pretty good, but that is minor in comparison to the way that outcome could have been, and I know for certain that would not have been dislodged otherwise. So there's a good example of a simple training that stuck with me all those years later and was able to save a life. So those certifications can be so invaluable and life-saving. Take a look on the website for the American Red Cross, redcross.org. It's redcross.org. To our listeners who are just tuning in here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show, I have on the show with me today the executive director of the American Red Cross, a not-for-profit here in the Hudson Valley community. And John, I want to thank you for taking the time and being with us here on the show today. To our listeners, we have to take a quick break here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show. But when we come back, we're going to be joined by one of our law firms here in the Hudson Valley. It's McCabe, Coleman, Ventosa, and Patterson. Hang in there. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsor.
The Hudson Valley Job Fair is back Thursday, March 12th from 3 to 6 o'clock p.m. at the Poughkeepsie Galleria Mall for individuals of all abilities, with a first look from 2 to 3 o'clock p.m. for veterans, seniors, and individuals living with disabilities. Meet over 50 Hudson Valley businesses who are eager to speak with you. It's free for job seekers to attend. No pre-registration required. Plus, thanks to Dutchess County Transit, seekers can enjoy free bus service to and from the mall at no charge. Presented by the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce in partnership with the Dutchess County Workforce Investment Board and DC Works. Thank you to our event sponsors, Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation, Ethan Allen Workforce Solutions, Greystone Programs, and Quality Environmental Solutions and Technologies, and our media sponsor, iHeartMedia. It's the Hudson Valley Job Fair, Thursday, March 12th at the Poughkeepsie Galleria Mall, 2001 South Road. For more information, visit dcrcoc.org.
And welcome back to the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show here on iHeartRadio. Now in the studio with me from McCabe, Coleman, Ventosa, and Patterson, it's John Ventosa. He is partner attorney at the firm. And John, I want you to tell our listeners about your law firm here in the Hudson Valley.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. I'm a founding partner of McCabe, Coleman, Ventosa, and Patterson. We opened our doors in the beginning of 2018. We were largely a group of solo practitioners that came together. I came out of the public defender's office from Dutchess County. And we really offer sort of a general practice. We have a very active criminal defense practice. It's always been a core group for us and will continue to be. But our main focus is really trying to provide services for business owners, families and business owners. Things that they need. We handle a wide variety of real estate, both commercial and residential, but we help people form businesses. We help deal with business transactions. We deal with estate planning and estate representation. We like to try to cover every facet of life for families and businesses and the people that own them.
I just want to back up a little bit and have our listeners have an understanding a little bit more about who John Ventosa is. What's your background? Schooling, obviously. Sure. Professional, personal, and also talk about the public defender's office and what that brings to the firm.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Dutchess County. I'm from Wappingers. I went to St. Columba and Lourdes growing up, NYU for undergrad. I spent about 10 years in Manhattan. I went to St. John's Law School while I was down there. Started dating my now wife, who's also from Wappingers. She's a pharmacist, Lauren. And at the time, I would have told you that I'm never leaving Manhattan. As much as I loved growing up here, you know, I had a job at a law firm down there. I was really enjoying life. And then, you know, as things go, we started getting a little more serious. She had a great job and was working up here, so she dragged me back home. But I came back up. I started working at a few firms around here. And then I was doing a lot of personal injury work at the time. I really enjoyed courtroom work. I recognized the need for more trial experience. I had been exposed to some criminal defense work. I had a great opportunity present itself for me at the public defender's office. I started working there, and I absolutely loved it. Even still, I'll tell you, it's one of the best jobs I've ever had. It was an absolute blast. You have wonderful people at that office. You're doing something that people really need, our community really needs. It's a very important job, and it's a very rewarding job. And I really enjoyed my years there.
Talk a little bit about how that now rolls into the firm, those experiences, and the future of the firm as you move forward.
At the outset, there's almost no better foundation for learning how to handle someone's problems and help them navigate their way through them than when you're kind of doing that at the extreme, which is sitting in an attorney consultation room at Dutchess County Jail with someone whose entire life is falling apart in front of you and trying to figure. I mean, that's when people are at their lowest. That's sort of the most extreme. So I think that experience gave me a really great foundation for being able to relate to people. The most common question I get when I tell people what I do or what my history is, well, how do you represent, you know, someone who's charged with X, Y, or Z? You know, what is that like? What you learn very, very quickly in that line of work is, you know, maybe I can remember the first, you know, first couple times you get a certain charge across your desk and you go to the jail and you're waiting for the person to come down. And based upon what you know they're charged with, you know, you have in your head, what am I going to be encountered with? Is this going to be a cold criminal, a monster? And it's not. It's a person. Right. And you realize how similar, no matter what their circumstances are, when you sit in a room with somebody like that, you realize how similar we all are. You realize how quickly life can take turns. And, you know, we're just people. Right. So I think, you know, learning how to connect with people and being able to just kind of establish that under that environment was a wonderful foundation going forward for having a practice that I try as hard as I can to always be focused on really helping people. I mean, I owe Tom Angel, my former boss, our former public defender. Look, I've had a lot of really wonderful influences on me in my legal career. I'm very lucky to have that, and many of whom are at the public defender's office. But Tom always emphasized kind of helping the person, you know, as the primary focus. And even though you think your job is focused on the legal problem. And that's something that I really learned in that office, and I think has done me quite well. I happened to, before I go in the public defender's office, form a very strong friendship with my now partner, Chris Coleman, who's like family to me. And he's eventually, he was handling the real estate transaction on my behalf, you know, as a favor to me when I purchased my house. And he convinced me, well, I should say he convinced my wife, who then convinced me that it was time to leave the public defender's office and kind of forge out on our own and do something different. So that's sort of my origin story.
Yeah, we're going to fast forward a little bit, and I want to just transition the conversation to more so about the business side of things and where you'd like to go with the firm as you're growing. You do a tremendous amount with business law. Talk a little bit about the business law side of things and what it might entail from someone who comes to you from the very beginning. We're starting a business, and where do we go from here? How do we form?
Sure.
What type of advice can you give?
Yeah, I mean, look, when someone comes in and they're looking to start a business, I mean, obviously we're lawyers, right? So there's certain aspects of starting a business that I'm not the one who's going to give you the best advice at. But, you know, you have to get to know the person. You have to get to know their family situation, their goals in life, the challenges they have in front of them, what they're looking to do, and why they're looking to do it, right? Is this someone who's looking to start a business, run it for a couple of years, sell it off? Is this someone who's, you know, doing something on the side as a hobby and they have another career? You know, you have to have a good understanding of kind of the whole picture, because there's decisions you make in the beginning. Then, of course, look, you can always pivot. But as much as possible, it's nice to have as clear a picture in front of you as possible so you can make the right strategic decisions. I think, look, anybody who comes to me when they're forming a business is already ahead of the game. I got to tell you, easily 80% of the people I talk to come to me when there's a problem, right? And so they walk into my office and they've got, you know, well, I formed an LLC. Okay, well, who did that for you? Oh, I did it on LegalZoom, or, you know, my accountant did it. Okay, well, can I see the operating agreement? What's that? So we're kind of behind the eight ball. So just coming in at the beginning and talking to the right people puts you so far ahead of the game.
Yeah, you're talking about their goals, what they want to accomplish, their background, their history. Like you said, you're getting all the information necessary to mitigate risk in the future.
Right.
So if you're able to preempt that as an attorney and get ahead of it, make sure it's in writing, it's clear, it's cut and dry. I can't tell you how many people, even in your industry, I know individuals that don't have agreements between partners.
Sure.
What are you doing?
Yeah, well, look.
It's always great, as you well know, during the honeymoon.
Sure. And look, that goes for lawyers, too. I mean, yeah, I've dealt with, yeah, absolutely. It all goes back, though, just like I was talking about before. I think the most important thing you do, probably in any business, certainly in mine, is developing genuine relationships with people. No matter what you do in life, it seems to come down generally to that. Yeah. If you're in the business world, that's the most important thing, because you need someone to trust you. You want them to rely on you. And if you just look at them as a file on your desk, or a retainer in the trust account, that's not a relationship that's sustaining. That's not someone who's going to come back to you. There's a million lawyers out there. That's not, and to me, honestly, that's not the interesting part of the job. It's very important to make sure you protect yourself, even when you trust somebody. It's the most important thing when you have partners is making sure you've chosen good partners.
Yeah.
Judge Foreman, who's now retired, used to say all the time, you have to be careful who you have children with. It's something that once you get in down a certain road, it becomes hard to unwind certain things, and you can apply that right when you're starting a business. When
Absolutely.
You're picking partners, people sometimes go in willy-nilly, well, this person has money, so they'd be a good partner to have, or this person has this skill. That's important, but it's not the whole equation. When people say, it's cliche to say it's like a marriage, but it really is. Sometimes you spend more time with that person than you do with your spouse.
And that's advice you can take all the way to the bank and take it all the way to the grave.
Yeah.
Just before we take off, I just want you to talk about the succession planning, the importance of that in the business world.
It's critical, and it's something that everybody overlooks. And this has become a focus of what I want to do going forward, how I can best serve my clients. Time and time again, someone comes into my office and something has happened. Maybe there's a medical event, just some kind of life event that happens, and you realize there's no plan in place to either pass this business on to the next generation or to deal with running the business actively if the main person in the business either dies or becomes incapacitated. For so many of my clients, they are the business. That's really common in a local, in a small business, a kind of localized business, right? We're not dealing with giant corporations with huge boards of directors and everything. We're dealing with contractors. We're dealing with accountants. We're dealing with people who the business is really, in some ways, inseparable from them as a person, despite the lawyers trying to separate those things legally, right? But you end up in a situation where you have to step back and think, look, if something happens to me, what happens to the people I'm employing? What happens to my clients, my customers? But also, this has been a way that my family has paid their bills. There's something of value here that you built. Mm-hmm. If you want to preserve that value, if you want to be able to pass it on, if you want it to have value independent of you as the person, it's really, really important to do these things. It's estate planning, essentially. And what people don't realize when they come in is whether you've come in and sat with me or not, whether you've executed certain documents or not, you have a plan. You may not realize it. Your plan, if you do nothing, is the default plan that the state of New York has for you. I think I can do a lot better than that, and I think you can too if you own a business. So it's really in your best interest to sit down, understand what the default rules are, understand what will happen if you do nothing, and see how you can improve the situation.
John Ventosa, partner with McCabe, Coleman, Ventosa, and Patterson. Areas of practice, business and contract law, real estate law, wills, trust, estate planning and administration, criminal defense, DWI defense, and personal injury, and more. Find out more information on their website. It's McCabeColeman.com, McCabeColeman.com, or you can always find them on our website at the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce, simply by visiting dcrcoc.org. To our listeners, that's all we have time for in our show. John, thank you for coming in and being with us on our show today. And to our listeners, if you want to find out more information about any of the guests that you heard on our show today, visit our site. If you want to find out more information about events happening in and around the Hudson Valley community, including business events and or just community events, ways to get involved in the community, give back here in our community, and to think local first, it's Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce, DCRCOC.org. Thanks for tuning in here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show, and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.